I say yes and amen to the praise and worship and to the prayer. Eric Casey did that for me. He did that so when I mess up here, I won't feel bad. I'll be in the greatest of company. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Eric. Welcome, welcome everyone, and especially the visitors. We want to welcome you if you're visiting here for the first time, and we want to welcome you if you're online. Welcome, welcome. And you're always welcome here at The Way Woodstock, where we are committed to sharing in hope, living with purpose for the sake of others. Well, today is the fifth in a series of the parables of Jesus. It is called the Parables of the Ten Virgins. So let's pray again. Lord God, I just thank you that you've given me the opportunity to speak for you today. May the words of my mouth be your words and not mine. May my heart and my meditation be pleasing to you, O Lord my God. Amen. It's a story time with Jesus. What I'm going to read is in red in my Bible. So that means it's the word of Jesus to his disciples. And he's teaching them about the coming, the second coming, when he's coming back to set up his kingdom. He's teaching them this. And so I'm going to read now the parable of the ten virgins from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like ten virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "And no," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others came and said, "Sir, sir, open the door to us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to set it down here. I always leave the word of God open because it's a symbol of our authority. It really is. We stand on the word of God. Amen? We stand on it. As I was preparing this message, the first thing I thought of was those virgins that wouldn't share weren't very nice. I thought... And then I thought about what the flight attendants have told us when they say, if pressure drops in the cabin and the face masks fall down, put your own mask on first. Then you can assist your child or others. Then I considered going verse by verse, starting with verse 13, because that seemed to be the emphasis of the passage. But then starting at the end seemed somewhat out of sequence. So I'm going to go verse by verse by verse by verse. And I'll get you out of here before two. I promise. I promise. Well, the point of this parable, don't we love the parables of Jesus? His words? The point of this parable, this entire section of eschatological or end times teaching, is addressed to the disciples in private as they sit with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. Picture him there. You'll find it in Matthew 24:3. You see, the disciples had a relationship with Jesus and they sat with him. They followed him. They just lived together. What a great opportunity they had. So we can't see him, but we too must sit with him, follow him, and do what he tells us. Jesus didn't know those who came late. The latecomers were not fully prepared, though they thought they were doing what was needed. They went when they heard he was coming, and then they had to go back and seek oil. There must be something beyond the doing that we do. I think it's the knowing, and for the disciples it certainly was, knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus. Do you know him? Do I know him? Really know him? How do we get to know someone, and how do we become intimately involved with them if we don't spend time with them? Jesus asks us to spend time with him. So by sharing your heart, you have relationship with people and with the Lord. Jesus came to seek and to save the thing having been lost. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost, or to seek and to save that which was lost. And in the Greek, it says, the thing having been lost. And I submit to you that we're not things, we're people. But what was lost was relationship in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. Relationship was lost. And in this parable of the 10 virgins, it's talking about Christ's return. He's telling them, this is how it's going to be when I come back in the clouds of glory. This is how it's going to be. The story of the 10 bridesmaids, sometimes it's referred to. The 10 bridesmaids. And those bridesmaids were, in Jewish history, expected to be virgins. They were. They were expected to be that way. And the moral lesson of this parable is to prepare now while there's still time. Those who do not prepare are not allowed to enter the wedding feast. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That's verse 1. Okay, we're making progress. Verse 2. Don't laugh, Wesley. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The parable teaches all would-be followers of Jesus the importance of vigilance in an uncertain time, and illustrates how one is able to endure to the end. Sometimes that's my question. How am I going to endure all this stuff that's happening in these uncertain times? Verse 3, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. That just didn't make any sense to me at all. Well, the only thing I can say about that is sometimes the oil is likened unto the Holy Spirit. When you talk to people who study the scripture, it's like the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, the wise ones, however, took oil. They took the Holy Spirit. The wise ones took oil, however, and they took it along with their lamps. Likewise, we need to have the Holy Spirit of truth. In verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time coming. The bridegroom tarried. The coming of the bridegroom to an individual may imply his death, his coming to the world, the final judgment. The delay, the time from a man's birth to his death, in the first case. In the second, the time from the beginning to the end of the world. Verse 6, at midnight the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. One day he will return on the clouds of glory. Every eye will see him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? He is Lord. He will come. He will. There's no doubt about it. Again, unexpectedly. We don't know when he's coming. In verse 7, then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. sometimes we say, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We say that. We try to wake each other up to the awakening of what God wants to do. Well, when the cry rang out, then they trimmed their lamps. Verse 8, the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And I couldn't help but think maybe all they had lit was their wicks. How long will a wick last by itself with no oil? How long will we last without the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? No, they replied. The wise virgins replied in verse 8, no, there may not be enough for us and you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves. Again, my first thought was, they're not nice. But then I said, put your own mask on first. Verse 10, but while they were on their way to buy oil, the unwise virgins who weren't prepared, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins were ready. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Those virgins who were ready were allowed to go inside, and the door was shut. And some translations say, and locked. The New Living Translation and the Message say, and locked. The door was shut and locked. It reminds me when I served in ministry in prison. First time I went through those doors and those big iron gates and the door slammed shut behind me. It was pretty scary. You're locked in. When the door's shut, you're either locked in or you're locked out. Let's get ready, folks. Verse 12, but he replied, truly, when they knocked on the door, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. I haven't been in relationship with you, you might say. You didn't walk with me. You didn't talk with me. I don't know who you are. And very much like what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not enough to hear the word. We must obey it and do it. When he calls us, we must obey and do it, whether we understand completely or not. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. That's not what we want to hear, my friends. Verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Keep ready for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we've sang about this morning. And be aware of false prophets who say they know. They'll tell you, I know the day and I know the time when the Lord returns. But the Bible says Jesus doesn't even know the day. Only the Father knows the day. We don't know the day, so we must be prepared. So meanwhile, what do we do? In the Christian life, how do we identify with Jesus? How do we identify with the Apostle Paul when he says in Philippians 2, 12, 13, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wow, you guys are good at that. You like it, don't you? You see, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven based on the fact that our grandma was a Christian. We have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Turn from sin, repent, be forgiven, turn from sin, and we'll start being ready for that great day when Christ returns. How do we make certain we are ready? I'm glad you asked. Somebody else used that. It's not as funny as it used to be, is it? Well, what we must do, like I said before, is repent and of sin. That's the first half of the gospel, is to repent and be saved. Well, the second half of the gospel is become a disciple of Jesus Christ and walk with him, talk with him, sit with him. How do we do this? Well, we have to have intentionality, tenaciousness, seek God continually, moment by moment, if you have to. I have to. It's an invitation to a journey. We're on a journey, a roadmap here for spiritual formation. It's an abandonment to his divine providence. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. It is only by and through spiritual practices that we can find a true path to spiritual growth in our quest for becoming mature disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, there's three ways, and I'm going to tell you about them. Dividing disciplines into three movements of the Holy Spirit contributes to a balanced spiritual life. Number one, the inward disciplines. Number two, the outward disciplines, and number three, the corporate disciplines. Now, I'm going to read a little bit about what each one of these are. I wish I had time to preach about every one of them, but alas, one of them by themselves takes a whole sermon most times. Okay, number one, the inward disciplines of meditation. It's important what you meditate on, folks. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. Prayer, fasting, and study offer avenues for personal examination and change. Personal change. Number two, the outward disciplines of simplicity, solitude, submission, and service prepare us to help make the world a better place. And doesn't it need us to help make the world a better place? And number three, the corporate disciplines. That's what we're doing today. We're worshiping together. The corporate disciplines of confession of sin, worship, guidance, and celebration bring us nearer to one another and to God. There are a plethora. There are an enormous amount and a wealthy amount of examples demonstrating how the disciplines can become a part of our daily activities and how they can help us shed off our superficial habits and bring the abundance of God into our lives. We can replace superficial habits with holy habits, and they'll work much better, making us ready for that day. Superficiality just doesn't go very far with godly people, I think. In these practices and disciplines, we are transformed by God's power. Some people get into thinking it's by their own power. Pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. And it's by God's power, and you just cooperate with it, right? You cooperate. And in our transformation, which will happen, we'll be transformed. We will not be alone. That's a good comforting thing to me, never to be alone. We do this with Jesus, with the Father, and together in the church here at The Way. We will be being transformed into the likeness of Christ in this process. God lovingly holds us in the process of being formed in the image of Christ for others, moves us from brokenness into wholeness. To God be the glory. I'm broken. I stand here broken. But I'm not as broken as I used to be. because I sit with Jesus in the disciplines. I want you to watch for the classes that are going to be offered here at the Way this fall. Come, join, be a part of it, and learn together as disciples of Christ. We can become the good and beautiful community of God that He wants us to be. We are a beautiful community already, but we can be more beautiful. Isn't that wonderful to know that we can be more and the good and beautiful community of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and God? Following the Spirit, extending grace. Oh, we need to give grace to each other. Love covers a multitude of sin, or a multitude of what are those weaknesses? Foible? How do you say that word, Ernie? Foible. We all have those. And demonstrating love to each other. So, back to the parable. The point of the parable, the primary lesson of the parable is, first and foremost, a lesson from Jesus spelled out for us: stay watchful. Being watchful in this context has a great deal to do with being ready to spring into action regardless of the hour. All the virgins were waiting to meet the bridegroom. All the virgins woke up when they heard the cry, but only half of them were able to go in. In summary, the parable of the 10 virgins tells us what will happen to a variety of people when the Lord Jesus' kingdom comes. It tells us that Christ will come at an unexpected moment to judge sinners and to reward the righteous. Afterward, there will be no second chance for anyone. So let's start now to be becoming ready. Today is your day of salvation if you've never invited Christ into your life. There are people here that would be glad to help you pray at the altar and receive Jesus Christ and receive His forgiveness. Ready for the great day. Prepare. Stay ready. Get ready and stay ready. And stay close to Jesus and stay close to each other. We need each other so desperately. And let's celebrate Christian discipline. Sometimes we don't like that word, discipline. But when discipline has its way with us, as the disciplines of the Holy Spirit here, they create in us the opportunity to be better, to be healed, and to be God's witnesses in the earth. So with that, let's pray. Lord, we each need a relationship with You. Then we will know You, and You will know us. Lord, I pray Your holy presence will lead us in the paths of righteousness, healing our brokenness, giving us encouragement and strength to become forgiven and holy, seeking people of God. May we have the faith in You to bring us into the salvation that we need and into the walking and sitting with You that we need. Yes, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray in You. We pray in Christ Jesus, and everyone says, Amen. Amen.